might be finding the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter number 26. 2 Chronicles, chapter 26. And I want to read the first five verses in 2 Chronicles, chapter number 26. If you dare, say amen. Amen. 2 Chronicles chapter number 26, verse number 1, the Bible says, "Then all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in the room of his father Amaziah. He built Eloth and restored it to Judah. After that, the king slept with his fathers. 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jechaliah of Jerusalem, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper." As long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You for this night, Lord. I thank You for this opportunity to open Your Word, Lord. Lord, I'm not much and don't have much, Lord, but I pray, Lord, You take my feeble thoughts, Lord, and transform them in Your mouthpiece tonight, Lord. I pray for these people, Lord. Thank You for bringing them out on a Wednesday night, Lord. I pray, Lord, that You'd help us in the Word of God tonight, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm interested in that verse 5. In the second part of that verse tonight, and it says, as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. I want to preach on this subject tonight, the danger of being blessed. The danger of being blessed. You're going to find that Uzziah, if you ever read the book of Isaiah, you'll find in Isaiah chapter 6, and it said it starts off, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple." And there we find out where the seraphims and the cherubims will be crying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord." And Isaiah will say, "Woe is me." But it took his death before Isaiah could ever see the Lord the way he ought to. I wonder what it will take in our life for something to happen in our life before we see the Lord like we ought to. Tonight, I want to look into a man's life called Uzziah. And you'll find in this text, in this verses, in this chapter, where a man was highly favored of God. I'm talking about God was using a man. God had his hand on him. God touched this man. God blessed this man. God gave him favor in every aspect of his life. Every aspect. And it's the key to that verse is in verse number 5, and it said, as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. You see, when I was a kid, we used to play hide-and-go-seek. We didn't have enough money to buy a Nintendo. We didn't have no PlayStations. We had to have those freebies. That was one that we could play, and it didn't cost nothing. And I remember we'd go across the street, and my neighbors had a big, wide front porch and had big old steps on it, and that would be our base. And there at that base, there'd always be people that would go hide. And I was bigger than I am now, so I know y'all was like getting that in your mind. So I never wanted to be the person that was going to be the seeker. How many of y'all love to seek somebody out? I don't see too many of y'all raising y'all hand either, so I always wanted to be the person to go hide. Because I knew if I was one that was going to go hide that I always had a chance because there would always be somebody else that the seeker could go get first. And we turn our back on it, and we say 1 Mississippi, 2 Mississippi, 3 Mississippi, 10 Mississippi, and you know, you got somebody that was going to cheat. They'd say 100 Mississippi, just like that, and they'd be on us. But I said all that to say this. As long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. You must know what that word sought is. That word sought is the root of the word seek. Tonight, it's not just a haphazardly going out after God. It's going after God day and night, and not just day and night, but all through the day, every second of the day, knowing that you need God, knowing that you need God to do something special in your own life, and not only in your life, but in the life of others. And there's not many people today that are seeking the Lord the way that we ought to. You're going to find You're going to find no Uzziah tonight. I'm going to go through these verses. I won't be long. But I want you to see what happened in Uzziah's life. And let me say this. It can happen to me. It can happen to you. And it's so very easy. And you know, I'll tell you what it is. It's because he was blessed. God had pulled up to Uzziah's house, and he had pulled up in a big old 18-wheeler, probably a convoy of 18-wheeler loads, and he had dumped out blessings upon blessings upon blessings on Uzziah's life. But let me say this. He, at one point in his life, the blessing became a cursing because he didn't realize that there's a danger in being blessed. If you have your Bible, look down in verse number 1 tonight. It said, "Then all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in the room of his father." In verse number 4, he said this, "And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to his father Amaziah did." And verse 5, "And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, and he had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper." I want to say, first of all, you'll see the priority of Uzziah. Uzziah, the Bible said he was 16 years old. I've got some young teenage boys in here tonight that are almost 16 or have just turned past 16. That's the age that we know that they can almost drive a car the way that hopefully they can at least get it out there in the road at the age of 16. Now, how many of y'all would vote for a president if he was 16 years old? It'd be hard, wouldn't it? God sought this man out. His father, Amaziah was his father, and God had sought out Uzziah, and he said, "At 16 years old, I'm going to give you the kingdom of Jerusalem, and you're going to be the king at the age of 16. I want to say this to my young teenage boys in here tonight. God can use you at any age. You're not the church of tomorrow. You're the church of the day. You can stand up and be a Christian down there at your school. Let me say this. You may be the only Bible that they're going to ever read is what you're putting in front of them. They're wanting you to be a light in that school. I was talking to a man the other day. I said this. I said, it'd be awesome, all these clubs that they have in this school. I saw where the other day they had a travel club. I would have probably joined up in that thing if they gave me a chance. I said, why don't they start a Bible club? They need one Holy Ghost man, young man, filled with God to start a Bible club. And let me tell you what it could do. It could start this whole county on the fire for God because they've got a young man filled with the Holy Ghost preaching in a Bible. You see, the school teacher may not can do it, but let me tell you who can. That student can. I didn't mean all that to come out, but he was the age of 16. He was a young man. Thank God we got some young man in this church that knows what old-time Holy Ghost preaching is, old-time singing is. Uzziah was blessed because of his God had prospered him, and he had set him first in his life, and he made him his priority. I'm glad on a Wednesday night when it's raining on the outside that there's some folks in Liberty Baptist Church that's made this place a priority. You want to know how to sadden your preacher's heart? Is not show up. I'll tell you what. I'll give you some insight on being a preacher tonight. He knows where each one of you sit. And the devil put it in him. He'll say, I know he sits there. I know he sits there. And God has placed people all around here. And the devil will come to him and say, they wasn't there. What'd you preach on? You know what it does? It does you good to be in your place. And I'm glad y'all have made this a priority. You know what Uzziah did? As long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. He sought the Lord. He made God a priority. It wasn't what was going to happen on the outside. He said, I'm going to make God my number one. The Bible said in the book of Colossians that he should have the preeminence in all things. That word preeminence is a word of rank. And it's not just any rank. It ain't rank number 2. It ain't rank number 3. It ain't 100. Preeminence means to have rank number 1. And let me tell you what, and God is so good that what the preacher said here Sunday, if you'll seek the Lord, He'll make you to prosper. God has set it up that way. But I'm going to say this, if you're not careful and you gave God your priority, and we'll get into this later, but if you're not careful, you'll see there's a danger in being blessed. You see, Uzziah made God his priority. Not only did he make God his priority, I want to say this, God prospered Uzziah. God so favored this man, God would give him everything. Everything that he touched, God would just give it to him. Look in your Bible. Look in verse number 6. The Bible said, verse number 6, talking about Prosper and Uzziah, said, "He went forth and warred against the Philistine and brake down the wall of Gath and the wall of Jabneh and the wall of Ashdod and built cities about Ashdod and among the Philistine. And God helped him with the Philistines and against the Arabians and dwelt in Gerbal and with the Mahums." Let me say this, God helped him in times of war. God made him to prosper in times of war. Everything that he went and warred against, guess what? God just gave it to him. You know why? Because he made him his priority. And Uzziah, every time he sat down, he sought the Lord. He said, "I've got to have you. I've got to put you first. You've got to be my eye, the apple of my eye. Every time I look up, I need to see you. And when my head's down low, I need to look it back up and look at you again." He made God his priority. And God was so prospering. He prospered in times of war. Not only that, if you look down in verse number 9 through 10, he prospered in walls and wells. It said this in verse 9, "Moreover, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate and at the valley gate and at the turning of the wall and fortified them. Also, he built towers in the desert and digged many wells, for he had much cattle both in the low country and the plains, husbandmen also, and vine dressers in the mountains and in Carmel, for he loved husbandry." God blessed him with wells. He blessed him with walls. He blessed him in times of war. Could it get any better? I mean, everything Uzziah was doing, God had put him in such a favor that everybody looked on him and his name began to spread abroad. The Bible said it spread down into Egypt. He blessed him in war, blessed him with walls. He blessed him with warriors. Look in verse number 11. It said, "Moreover, Uzziah had a host of fighting men that went out to war by bands according to the number of their account by the hand of Jael and the scribe Messiah and the ruler in the hand of Hananiah and one of the king's captains. The whole number of the chief of the fathers of the mighty men of valor were 2,600, and under their hand was an army 300,000 and 7,500, and made war and mighty power to help the king against the enemy." He had warriors that was set aside for him. He had 2,600 mighty men of valor. Then he had 307,500 men up under those men. He had a mighty army. And God had blessed him, and God had set forth a leader named Uzziah. And God was making him prosper on every hand. He'd go to the right, he'd prosper. He'd go to the left, he'd prosper. No matter what he did, he would prosper because God had so bred it in his heart that he had to have him first. Do you remember a time when you used to seek the Lord like that? And you used to put Him first in everything. You go buy a house and you say, "Well, Lord, do You want me to have this?" You go buy a car. "Lord, do You want me to have this? I'm going to take a new job. Well, Lord, is that going to take me out of church?" I never will forget, I had a man come to me one time. He said, "I need some advice about something." And I said, and I always cringe up about that because I always want to make sure that whatever I tell him is right according to the Bible. And he said, "I can take a new job, but I'm going to have to work on Sunday." I said, "That's an easy one right there." In my mind, the light bulb went off. I said, "You need to be in church." And he didn't like what I said. And I said, "You need to be in church. I want to say this. Your kids and your family would rather see you in church than be down at Six Flags or at the Braves game on Sunday. I know everybody needs a vacation. I know people have to go do things. But I'm going to tell you what. You're putting eternal seed into your kids and your grandkids. And they'll see you up waving and praising God. And they'll remember those times. They may not remember if the Braves won or lost to that game. But I'll tell you what they'll remember. They'll remember when an eternal work happened in their soul. And they come down to the house of God. And they saw Grandma and Grandpa praising God. And they saw Mama and Daddy praising God. And they said, I'll tell you what they did. They sought the Lord." And that's what Uzziah did. He had sought the Lord, and God had made him to prosper. He gave him war. He prospered in times of war, in the walls and the warriors. He even gave him weapons. Look in verse number 15. It said, "And he made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men to build the towers upon the bulwarks to shoot arrows and great stones withal. And his name spread far abroad." And I'll stop right there, and we'll pick that up, the next part of that verse. God had made him prosper. He gave him weapons. You see, Uzziah, right now everybody's wanting an AR-15. That's what everybody wants. I had to look it up. I really didn't know what AR stood for. Anybody know what that stands for? It don't stand for assault rifle like everybody wants it to make it. That's what the government have you say. It's an assault rifle. It means an Armalite rifle is what that stood for. I said all that to say this. Uzziah had automated weapons back in the days where they didn't have all these bullets. You know what he was doing? He didn't have an AR-15. But I tell you what he did have. He had an arrow slinger. I call it an AS-15. And then he had a stone, an SS-15. He had a stone slinger. And he had weapons back in the days before they had guns. And God had blessed this man that he put people up underneath him and they used their intelligence. And God would bless him and God would prosper him. Because as long as he sought the Lord, God would make him to prosper. I want to say that still that formula will work in your life today. If as long as you seek the Lord, God will make you to prosper. I said all those first two things. Uzziah made God his priority. God made him to prosper. But I got all the way down here to this third point, and here it is, the danger of being blessed, and you're fixing to see it. You'll see the problem of Uzziah. Look in verse number 15 again. The last part of that verse says this, "For he was marvelously helped till he was strong." He was marvelously helped until he was strong. Then look, verse 16 says, "But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction." You see, something changed to where his blessing all of a sudden became his biggest curse. His blessing became his biggest curse. He was a man that God had favored. God had given him everything. He gave him war. He gave him all the things that he got in war. He gave him the weapons. He gave him the warriors. He gave him all that stuff. But God would do something because something lifted up in Uzziah. He said, "I've got this now." And let me say, that's the greatest danger in being blessed in the church house today and all across America. You know why America's turned away from God? Because God's got His blessings upon America. And for all these years since America was founded, God has so blessed this land. And I say He's still blessing this land. I thank God for the rain that He's bringing on the outside. There's somebody somewhere today who said they wished it would rain at their house. I can guarantee it. I praise God for the rain that He sent us today. I praise Him for all He's done for us. You know why? Because I know it takes Him. And if we ever think it don't take Him, then I'll tell you what, we're in great danger of being way too blessed. And that's where Uzziah found himself. He found himself where the blessings of God had brought him to a curse. And he was marvelously helped till he was strong. You say, what happened to Uzziah? Uzziah rose up with pride. You see, he said, if you'll read on down through here, look down in verse number 17. It says this, "And Azariah the priest went in after..." Let's get verse 16. It said, "But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God, and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. And Azariah the priest went in after him, and 80 priests of the Lord that were valiant men, and they withstood Uzziah the king, and said unto him, It appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests of the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed, neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord thy God." In verse number 19, you'll see where Uzziah got mad about it. And this is where most people find themselves when they get rebuked by a preacher. They find themselves right here. And if you're not careful, when you get blessed and you get out in sin and the preacher touches on your sin, you'll find yourself in the same place Uzziah was, that you'll start getting mad at the preacher and mad at God. But it ain't the preacher's fault. There's a danger in being blessed. I hope you get that tonight. He was so blessed that he said, "I don't care what God wants anymore. It's my way or the highway. It's all about me." And that's where Uzziah found himself. The Bible said he was wroth and had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priest, the leprosy rose up in his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. Let me say this, pride got the best of him. That's something that we all deal with there, is pride. I wrote some things down about pride. I want to read some verses in Proverbs that the Lord had given me. In Proverbs 11:2, it said, "When pride cometh, then cometh shame. but with lowly is wisdom. Proverbs 13:10 says, only by pride cometh contention. If there's contention and strife at your house, I'll tell you what it is. Somebody's filled with pride. And I'm preaching to myself tonight as I am anybody else, because I tell you, it's inside of me. I wished it wasn't. I wished I could take it out of me. But I'm going to tell you what, we all have pride within ourselves, and we have to be careful how we deal with pride. Not only that, Proverbs 14:3 said this, "And the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise shall preserve them." Proverbs 16:18 said this, "Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." Proverbs 6 said this, "These six things doth the Lord hate, yes, seven are abomination to Him, a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift running into mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren." The first one is a proud look. God is not happy with pride. And when I speak about that, you ought to be prideful that you brush your teeth and you comb your hair and you do all those things. But let me say this, there is a thing where you can become so prideful that you no longer trust what God said, or you become smarter than God. We live in a day where people say the Bible still ain't true, and it don't really say that, and they have you think that. You know what they're saying? They say, "My word's better than God's word." And the reason they would do that is because they're risen up with pride. Be careful with this thing of pride. I wrote down, I didn't get it from a book or anything like that, so you know it ain't very educated, but I wrote down four things to help with pride tonight. And I prayed to the Lord. I said, "Lord, what could I tell somebody about pride?" The first thing I wrote down was this, and y'all laugh how elementary these four things that I wrote down are. Y'all probably just laugh at them. The first thing I wrote down was stay low. Stay low. We have a term at work, we call it this, flying under the radar. Flying under the radar. You say, what does that mean? That means we go to work, we work hard, we do our 8 hours, our 10 hours, we do our shift, we study to be quiet, we do what our business unit is supposed to do, but we fly under the radar. We try not to make any issues. We try not to cause any issues. But we do what we're getting paid to do, and we do it the way God wants it to be done. And we fly under the radar. You say, why do you do that? I figured this out. The higher up you are, when you have to fall, it's a long ways down. But if you're flying low, hopefully you get this. If you're flying low, you ain't got far to fall. And I try to fly almost on the floor, if you ask me. I'm trying just not to get carpet burn on me when I'm flying. I'll be honest with you. Stay low. The Bible said this about Jesus. You see, Jesus humbled Himself. You know what that word meant? It meant He stayed low. Jesus was a lowly man. He was a meek man. The Bible said this about Jesus Himself in Philippians chapter 2, verse number 5. It said, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God." Here it is. "But made Himself of no reputation, and took upon Him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in a fashion as a man, He humbled Himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." You see, Jesus, He flew under the radar. Many times, Jesus' popularity, you know what it did? It drove Him up into a mountain to pray. Oh, don't think He didn't think about the sheep when He was up there praying. He still had eyes on them. Don't think that at all. But you know what? He never wanted His name to be above God's name. Even when Jesus was on the cross, He cried out, "Not my will, but thine be done." You know why? Jesus knew that there was somebody out there that was greater than Him, and He had to trust in the Father. I'm glad that tonight at Liberty Baptist Church, give us some people in here that's trusting in God more than they are themselves. They're trusting in not the things of this world, but the things of the other world, where God is on the throne and He's ruling and reigning as He sees fit. Stay low. I wrote this next one down, and this is one I really need to pray about. Swiftly listen. Swiftly listen. The Bible says in James chapter 1, verse number 19, it said, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Lord, help me to hear. Most trouble in marriages, you know where they come from? The woman's going to say that he don't listen. Or the man's going to say she don't listen. You know why? Because we're not swift to hear. You know what pride will do to you? It'll make you where you don't want to hear things. Just think about Uzziah. When he went into that temple to burn that incense, you don't think Uzziah knew that that was left to Aaron and his sons and that lineage to burn the incense on the altar? Uzziah had probably been taught that every day of his life. But Uzziah got to a point that even when the priest come in to kick him out of the sanctuary, he said, I will not hear it. He said, I'm going to keep going. Not only did one priest, it wasn't just Amaziah that went in there with him. There was 80 other priests that went there with him. Could y'all imagine being in front of the church and 80-something people confront you? I think I would listen. But that's where pride will take you. 80 priests of the Lord came to Uzziah and he would not listen to him. He began to keep on doing it. And Uzziah had a choice in his life. He said, would I listen to what they got to say? It does pay to listen to what the preacher says. It does pay. Swiftly listen. I wrote this one down. Steadfastly labor. Steadfastly labor. Don't ever forget who you're working for in this thing. You see, I've learned in this thing, you know who you'll hurt the most? Is those that you work with the most. You see, if you have two men are out chopping wood and they're hitting the same piece of wood at the same time, if they're not in complete rhythm, eventually one of them is going to hurt the other one. Is that true? You will hurt the people the most that you're by the most, and the one that you work with the most you'll hurt. That's why when husband and wife, the devil loved to get you in contention and strife. And he'd love for that thing to pride and say, she's wrong or I'm wrong, or and all that rise up in it, and that strife in the family and that pride will lift up. That's what happened to Uzziah. And steadfastly labor. Remember who you're working for. You say, we're going to, at some point, we'll have to say, I'm working for the Lord. It doesn't matter what the other people are doing. It doesn't matter if this one does it or that one does it. What am I going to do? It has to be a personal thing. Steadfast to labor. See, I figured out at my job, if I sit there and work and I just keep at it, it'll make the time go by quicker. I remember when I worked at the grocery store, they had a big old clock on the wall. And we'd sack them groceries up, and it'd get about Piggly Wiggly closed about 7 Alabama time, 8 Georgia time. I was in Roanoke working at the grocery store, and they had a big old clock. And it'd get about 6, and we'd say, man, I can't wait for 7. And we'd start watching that clock. And it never, I mean, we could just see it. It was like it wouldn't even move in second hand, wouldn't even click off. We couldn't wait for the time to get off. But I remember, if I was ever sacking groceries, if I was ever to stop doing that and go sweep the floor and go do other things, that the time would go by quicker. Let me say this, and it'd be much easier. It'd be much easier because we were steadfastly laboring. You see, God's left each one of us a word. It's not just for the preacher. It's not just for somebody who teaches Sunday school. He's left us all a word. Each one of you has a ministry. Each one of you can labor for the Lord. Remember when Jesus was on the cross and those women were still there and there was Peter and John, and the last thing that Jesus said to John, he said, I want you to take my mother. You see, we want to think a lot of times a guy preaching to 6,000, he's doing more for the Lord than somebody's preaching to 6. A lot of times we begin to think that, and the devil put that and said, how come you ain't preaching to 6,000? How come you ain't doing that? How come you only got 6? And I remember when I just had got saved, and I was trying to study. I was trying to do everything I could. I wasn't at church here yet, but I can remember everybody said, oh, if you ain't a preacher, you ain't doing nothing for the Lord. And it'd be years before God would ever call me to preach. And I began to think, I said, man, how come I can't do nothing for the Lord unless I'm called to preach? And that's the way they inbred that stuff. And I said, no. I said, God, He showed me some things at that point in my life. He said, you can do big things for the Lord. You know what you can do? You can be kind to somebody. You can show the fruits of the Spirit to people. Love, joy, peace. gentleness, meekness, all the things that God is doing. And I tell you this, God would so send people in my way that I could witness to, that I could take the gospel and send it to them. And I'd rather spend time with somebody than I have to go try to pass out 1,000 tracts. I'd rather sit there and do what's right and be kind to somebody and be folksy with somebody. And God would show me that. He said, it didn't matter if you had 6 or you had 6,000. You do what I tell you to do. You see, Peter and John was there together at the cross that day. And the Lord would give them a commission. He'd give them some labor to do. He'd tell John, he said, you take my mother. And then he'd let Peter. We all know what Peter did, didn't we? Peter would take the gospel to the Gentile nation, wouldn't he? He let Peter stand up and preach to thousands. But he'd give John the ministry of an old folks home, wouldn't he? He'd give him his own mother. And each one of them have their own importance. I said all that to say this. Each one of you have your own importance in this place, in this ministry. And if I tell you what, if you'll steadfastly labor and forget about ourselves and forget about hurting one another and put our mind and make God the priority, and He'll make you to prosper. And not only that, steadfastly labor. And remember, that's Him. There's a verse in Hebrews that I always turn over to. It's found in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 6, verse number 9. It said this, "But, beloved, we're persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward His name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister." I'm glad God's not careful to forget our labor of love. God is writing it all down. You say, a lot of times, I'll tell you what I struggle with. I may be a little bit too honest tonight. Am I effective? And I believe every preacher may struggle with that. But I struggle with that sometimes. Are you really effective? Because I want to be effective for God. I pray everybody in here wants to be effective for God. Not only to your family, but every aspect of your life. Are you effective for God down at your job, at your home, at your school, wherever you're at? Are you effective for God? Yeah. If you're effective for God, I've noticed this, you automatically be effective in the other things that you're doing. You'll be effective at your job. You'll do what your job says. You won't have no problem with you not doing what your job if you're, as long as you're effective for God, because those things go hand in hand. Being effective. Steadfastly labor. God is a writing it all down. Always remember who you're doing it for, because He's a writing it down. And let me say this. When the things of pride rise up, if you'll steadfastly labor, remember, there ain't no big ones, there ain't no little ones. We all have our place, and God's called us all to do our own little work and to have our own little part. If you were to teach, teach. If you were to pray, pray. If you were to sing, sing. If you were to do anything, pass out tracts, whatever, do it for God, and He'll honor that. Not only that, stay low, swiftly listen, steadfastly labor. The last thing I wrote down was show love. Show love. You see, love, if you're reading the book of 1 Corinthians, turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 13 and verse number 4. Just hold your place here where we're at, and I'll be done in just a minute. But I want you to see what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter number 13 and verse number 4. Because this will help you. It's helped me. First Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 4, talking about charity or love. Show love. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, thinketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinking no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Verse number 8 says, charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Verse number 13 closed it out. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. Show love. You may be here tonight and your marriage is on the brink of disaster. Show love. You say, what's a marriage? Is it... I used to hear this all my life. Marriage is 100-0. But let me say what it is. It's 100-100. Each one of you has got to give 100%. When they give zero, you can still give 100. Because that's what it's going to take. Because the devil, that's what he's doing in America today and across this world. He's busting up homes because if he knows he can bust up a home, he knows he can divide a church. Our churches is only as strong as our homes are. Uzziah, I don't know where all that came from, but show love. Talking about Uzziah, and I'm closing down. You'll see the priority of Uzziah, the prospering of Uzziah, the problem of Uzziah. We know it rose up in his life. But lastly, talking about the dangers of blessings, you'll see the perishing of Uzziah. If you go back in our text in 2 Chronicles, chapter number 26, look down in verse number 20. We know what Uzziah, he's went in, he tried to burn, he was marvelously helped till he was strong, and that pride rose up in him. He went into the sanctuary, he wanted to burn incense on the altar, and he took that upon himself to do. And now God has smote him with leprosy. God has smote him with leprosy. Talking about the perishing of Uzziah. Look in verse number 20. It said, Azariah the chief priest and all the priests looked upon him. Behold, he was leprous in his forehead, and they thrust him out from thence. Yeah, himself hasted also to go out because the Lord had smitten him. And Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death, and dwelt in a several house, being a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. And Jotham his son was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. Now the rest of the acts of Uzziah, the first and last, did Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, write. And here it is, talking about the perishing of Uzziah. So Uzziah slept with his fathers, and they buried him with his fathers in the field of the field of the burial, which belonged to a leper. And Jotham his son reigned in his stead. Let me say this. God smote him with leprosy, the perishing of Uzziah. He rose up with that pride, and every time he looked down at his skin, all he could see was leprosy. And from that point on, God has smote him with that. Imagine Uzziah, all that stuff that they had said about him, all his name. Listen, all of his name is spread abroad, even down to the land of Egypt. All the favor that God had showed him, all the great things, all the wars that he had helped him win, all the weapons that he had built up, all the people that God had used in his life and the favor that he's shown, they didn't remember him for those things anymore. You know what they remember Uzziah for? They only remember him for being a leper. They only remember that time when he went into the house of the Lord. That's why it's important to be careful and guard our testimony and keep ourselves clean and keep ourselves prepared for the use of the Lord. Because what Uzziah did, all they remembered him for, when to the day of his death, all they remembered Uzziah was for being a leper. They said, "Oh, what do you know about old Uzziah? Oh, he's just a leper." They forgot all about those good things that he did. They forgot all the times that he sought the Lord and God made him to prosper. They forgot all about that. You know why? Because they're human. The dangers of being blessed. You see, Uzziah, he had everything. God is so, he had so sought the Lord, and he started out that thing at an early age, at 16, and the Bible said he reigned in Jerusalem for 52 years. And all that time, God had favored him. Until he did, he rose up in himself, and the Bible said he was marvelously helped till he was strong. And Uzziah took that upon himself. All they remembered him for was being a leper. I want to ask you this question tonight. What would they remember you for? You see, if you'd have read the obituary in the paper, the Bowden Times, is that what it is here? Times Georgian, New York Times, or whatever paper they read it in. They look at a Uzziah and they'd have a date of birth and a date of death. And somebody probably would try to pin down. And imagine if Uzziah didn't have any family. And probably somebody at the journalist there, they was writing that out. You know what they'd probably put in his obituary? Leper. Leper. Cast him out. Leper. You see, the things that was once important in Uzziah's life, he had all those blessings and his dangers of being blessed. It took him into a curse. Because he was blessed so good by God. I wonder what, and I'll close with this thought, I wonder tonight what they'll remember us for when we die. Will it be that we rose up with pride and we tried to take on things that we never were supposed to? Or would it be this, as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. May we be found seeking the Lord, that God would prosper us and we'd always make Him the priority in our life, that God would use us and God would prosper us. Brother Mike.